Well, I mentioned last night at the Masses and this morning that for some people's prayers have finally been answered. I have lost my voice. What can I say? I feel better than I sound, but the thing about my particular physique I've learned over the years is that my cold is basically gone, but the throat thing hangs on for, like, ever. And so one of my staff members very kindly suggested that I get a Darth Vader helmet and walk around with that on so that I can look like I sound, since Halloween is coming up and we know how much I enjoy that wonderful holiday. So, and the only other thing that I'll say about it this morning is that I thank you for all of your home remedy advice. All the brandy in the world is not going to fix what's wrong with me. So I don't need any more advice, but thank you. I'll live. In any case, for the sake of this morning, the readings are all beautiful, and I could spend a long time on them, as always, but I actually want to take some time to do a couple of things. I do want to talk about the second reading, and I want to fold into it a little parish update, because it's been my custom since I've been here as pastor to every October update the parish on some things. And this is what's going on this weekend here, so that's kind of the agenda for the morning. To the second reading, anyway, from St. Paul, I've always loved this particular portion of text, and for some sense of context, he's writing to Timothy, and this is the second one of his letters that we possess to him. And if our tradition is to be believed anyway, he's writing from Rome, most likely, and he's writing under Roman house arrest. He's arrested in Jerusalem a couple years earlier, maybe, goes to Rome because he has appealed his case to Caesar, as a Roman citizen could do. So he's writing from a Roman jail, basically, and don't think so much like dungeon and dark things. In his case, because of his particular status as a citizen, he had a sense of freedom. He could receive visitors and write letters, and he was always under guard, but he was certainly waiting his trial, which he eventually would have. So Paul is writing because he knows that the end has arrived for him. And in this piece of text, we get some snippets of what his thought process happens to be. And I think it's interesting to place ourselves in his head and think, what must it have been like for him to wrestle with the things he was wrestling with? Chief thing on his mind is, will the faith continue? Is the faith going to go on to the next generation? In Paul's case, he had been laboring for 30-some years, after that brilliant experience of the Lord on the way to Damascus. As he writes himself in other passages, he's been shipwrecked, he's been stoned, he's been thrown out of towns, he has been arrested, he has had all these things happen because he would not stop preaching the faith, and now he knows the executioner is coming for him soon. That will happen to him. He's going to die. And he says to a young apprentice, Timothy, you have to carry on. You have to pick up where I left off, because the whole project rides on you and everyone else who I appointed to follow after me. So he has in his mind the continuation of the faith. And he knows, he even says in our piece, all everybody else abandoned me. At my hour of need, I was all by myself. And I'm basically alone again, he's trying to say. So he says, I don't place my faith in people so much. I place it in the Lord. I place it in God. I place it in the fact that I have done my best for him, and the rest is in his hands, and I will win the victory. What a statement of faith and confidence, because he knows the executioner's blade's going to fall. He's not going to win that victory. He's going to die. But he'll win the victory of salvation and eternal life because he gave himself so fully to the Lord for the sake of those who would come after him. I love the passage. It's inspiring for me. And I think that all of us have to find ourselves thinking along the same lines, if we're honest, because the question that St. Paul had must be ours too. It is, will the faith go on to the next generation? What do we have to do to make sure that the faith goes on to those who come after us? How do we sacrifice and run the race and pour ourselves out, to use St. Paul's images? What must we do to preserve and hand on the faith at all costs? That should be in our minds all the time. No generation is immune from that question, and indeed it faces us today, just like it did St. Paul a long time ago. It's a blessing to wrestle with it. So it's within that context of Paul and handing on the faith that I offer some comments about the parish today for us to ponder as we think about how will the faith go on in the context of parish life. We which in the Catholic world is how the faith becomes concrete and active in day-to-day existence. So just keep that in mind as I throw out some numbers. This is in two parts, I guess. First part is some numbers just to ponder. Second part is some thoughts about where we're going next. Again, always in the context of our reading today. We're handing on the faith, at least we're trying to, right? On the mortgage. The mortgage I often update you all about, and it's in the bulletin these days frequently too. In June of 2012, so 4 years ago and change, we refinanced for $1 million. We're down to $342,000 that we owe, so just under $700,000 we have paid off in the amount of time. That's a tribute to your generosity. You have done that, which is wonderful. That's an expression of your love for the faith. Again, in the Pauline sense, you hand it on by sacrificing for the sake of the parish. So keep going is the message here. We have to get that paid down. Other numbers about our school. Thought we'd focus on that a little bit this year. The enrollment in our day school this year, a very important ministry of our parish, is 292 kids, 292. And then last year was 285. So we're up this year for the first time in many, many years that we've actually had an increase, which is really good news. A portion of why we're up is because of St. Mary's. We know that we closed there last year. And in our building of that 292 right now, 17 are from St. Mary's. We have 17 of their kids down here. Happy to have them here. Many of our St. Mary's kids went up to Kewaskum, which was great too, but some did come down here. So we want to look at that trend. Our school has much to celebrate. We're doing great things down there. But just so you understand, too, the 292 is down about 120 kids from when I first came here in 2009. And that's true all over town and in many parts of the diocese, so we're not unique in that. So we want to hit one of these days kind of the leveling off point, and I hope that it's coming soon. But nonetheless, good things happening in the building that we should be very proud of to support with all of our ministries that we do. One of the school number to think about is the number of students in our building who are there because they're receiving extra grants and extra assistance for scholarships. This is important because that money comes from you. Again, it's parish contributions and it's school fundraisers that make these things possible. All the tuition in our building is subsidized for everybody by about half. So any parent in a building only pays about half of what the actual cost is. The other half comes from your contributions that the parish gives and school fundraisers, etc. So we're very grateful for those things. But some families say to me, you know, I can't even make the half cost, Father. We want to be in your building, but we have this difficulty or hardship. So we have an application process, and we look at their finances, those who apply, and we get down to a statement of need, etc. And so when it's all said and done, we have 37 kids in our building this year who wouldn't be here if it weren't for these extra scholarships and grants that we give out to them. 37 is a high number. And we should be proud of that, again, because we make that possible. We want to make our school a place that families can feel welcome to, even if they need some extra assistance. That's what we're here to provide for them. That costs us a fair amount, but it's okay. Of the 37 students, for all those costs, 36,000 of those extras come from the endowment fund, our school ed fund, and 18 come from just the extras on our budget up here and in the school. So that's $54,000 total in grants this year. It's a very, very high number for us, but we want to make sure we keep that going because it lets people come to our building who need the Catholic education that we provide, and their family situation doesn't allow them to have it any other way. So we should be proud of that outreach. And again, these numbers are, in that St. Paul sense of the word, your generosity in action and your desire for the faith to continue in action. That is very good. Other fundraisers, just to note, important ones around campus, Scrip, which are those little cards that you buy, you know, at Mass that you could take to McDonald's or to get gas or whatever. When you use those, a portion kicks back to the school that the parents designate as their choice. We have sold since July 1, $77,000 in Scrip, which is amazing. Of that, $3,500 has come back to us. So that's a really small amount. But the fact is that $3,500 is very important to the families who get it. And so we want to keep building that program up as much as possible. So all that you can do to keep utilizing that is very, very helpful. Another big important fundraiser that helps us with our tuition costs and everything else is the school auction. Last year, we came in at just under $100,000 in profit for that. Outstanding. Last June's school golf outing, around $7,500. Outstanding. Ramatzia profit, not final yet, but our best guess at this point without everything in is $6,500, another great year. Book sale, $1,450 roughly. And then on the outreach side of things, in terms of charity, most recent Haiti appeal, $23,000 from about a month ago. Again, very, very nice response. Faith and Family Fest. In the Faith and Family Festival, all that money goes to charity. We keep none of that. And that's an outreach for us and our area parishes. So profit for that is going to be about $8,500. All goes to Casa Guadalupe this year. That's our charity of choice for the year. And we did that because we got about $10,000 in underwriting from area businesses to make that possible. So those are great, again, great numbers, okay? And the last number to toss out for you would be this, the Catholic Stewardship Appeal. Our parish goal is, once again, $107,000, and we're at $96,000 right now. So we have a few more to go to hit our goal. If we do, that'd be great. So right now, in October, giving has been pretty even, which is good. Expenses are running even, which is good. So the numbers this year don't look too bad, which is a great, again, sign that all of you are, in your prayer and daily life, taking what St. Paul is thinking about seriously and saying these contributions are part of how we hand on the faith. Giving is faith in action. Monetary giving is faith in action. And the fact that you do it here on these levels is a great sign of the lifeblood running through this community that we should celebrate and be very proud of. Now, all that said, there is another thing I have to say, though, which is about, this is part two, you know, what's coming up and what's ahead for us, because we have some things to think about as a parish family. And I offer these observations in light of our listening sessions that we had a little while ago. And I don't want to say too much because I don't want to preempt the parish council because they want to take a look at the papers that were written on and the results that came back, and then will there be more definite conclusions later on. But at this stage of the game, though, I can offer a couple of initial, I think, reactions based on what happened. First of all, it's clear from those who came and others who commented about them that people do really love our parish and our school. A lot of interest, a lot of devotion to our place, which is wonderful to see, and I appreciated the participation of those who came very, very much. The difficulty is not many people came. This is the hard part, right, of calling a big parish meeting, and we did all that we could to publicize it, I think you would agree, but we had out of maybe 6,000 people here in the parish, 200 come total. That's a fraction of the whole community. And it's discouraging for me, frankly, as a pastor, because you think, you know, we need to have conversations and input, and people don't come. So what does one do with that reality? I could say, I guess, a couple of things about it. I think mainly the reality is that folks are just busy. Everyone's just very, very busy today. And so one conclusion to come away from the sessions is that, to be very plain about it, parish life is changing. Parish life as we know it is changing all around us, not just here, but in most parishes across the country. And the reason is because the culture is changing. And so what has to happen in the next few months ahead is that the parish council and me and all of you, we have to pray together about what is parish life going to look like going forward in light of things that are changing all around us that we have to come to grips with as a Catholic community. You can think St. Paul here. He knows what's coming ahead for him. What did he have to do to further the faith? What do we have to change? What do we have to do to keep the faith alive and keep it going in a different parish environment? The reality is that the Catholic culture that built all this infrastructure, all these buildings, and put together all these ministries that take all these volunteers, all this money, that culture doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. And so each parish has to figure out how do you retool, how to reorganize, how do you do it differently to accommodate for all that's impacting us as a culture. Families are very, very busy. Everyone's very divided, running in all these directions. And so the time to devote to the parish isn't what it used to be, with two parents working now many times and everything else. And what also has been a big impactor is technology. This is the smartphone era now. And the thing of it is that most of our community life these days is in the virtual world, not in person. And Catholic life doesn't work that way. Our sacraments are in person. Our worship time is in person. There's no app for the Eucharist or app for confession or a baptism app. You got to be here for it. But that's very against our cultural norm these days. So what I want is to have a Catholic parish life that is a haven of real in-person community and peace and grace in the Lord's presence. And to do that, we have to think about how we're going to make that possible when our resource base is shifting all around us as people move and come and go and age and everything else. This is what we have to contemplate. So one conclusion of the listening sessions is that we have to figure out how to do things a little differently. I think that's just a reality, right? Something else to conclude, and this is important, we have major repairs ahead of us. That's very clear from the work we did running into these sessions. And so this is a number you have to take in. You have to take this number in. If you take a look at the presentation that the council put together for these sessions, which people really found very, very helpful, the bottom line is that on the campus here in the next couple of years, we face between $1 to $2 million in repairs. $1 to $2 million, depending upon what you want to include or add in or take out. Okay? That's a very, very big number. And we don't really have it laying around, as you might imagine. There's no money tree in the back someplace. I've looked for it for years and I can't find it. So the money tree is sitting in front of me, to put it very plainly. So we had to pray about, you know, what does that mean exactly? So what I hope all of you will do is take a look on the main page of the parish website. We posted the PowerPoint slide of our presentation from the other night, from Wednesday. It's very well done, very clear with pictures and little checkpoints and lays everything out very nicely. And those who saw it were very impressed. So I need as many people as possible to log on and look at the information and talk to the parish council about your reactions. All of our council members' names are in the bulletin. Be in touch with them, because together we have to figure out how we're going to take a very, very big repair bill and move forward as a campus, knowing these things that are impacting us about shifting volunteer and resources. It's all kind of coming together. In the next few months, we've got to pray our way through all of those things. Very, very important. Some highlights on the repair list, just so you're aware, on that $1 to $2 million range that we're contemplating. Church and school roofs, okay, the roofs across campus all need some attention in some way, shape, or form. Exterior doors and locks. The school HVAC system needs a total revamp. That's what we've just decided. It really just has to be redone. Very expensive. Campus-wide lighting and windows, all of which are wearing out and are inefficient. Campus-wide pavement and surfaces. And then also the worship space here, too. There are things we could do in here if we want to. The tabernacle was discussed a little bit at these sessions. The question is, should it stay there or should it come back up front here? So I want people to weigh in on that and understand why there's a liturgical change that's taking place that makes us have the conversation and what that all means for that space back there if we move it, etc. So all that is on our minds right now. Okay. So if you can do anything, please, on the main page of the parish website, that little scrolling that goes past you, just click on the thing that says, you know, PowerPoint presentation and take a look at it and offer us your feedback. It'd be very helpful, okay? So again, you know, just understand, even though our culture is moving this direction, there's no such thing as a virtual parish. It's built in concrete and brick and mortar, and it's built with volunteer hours and volunteer time for people who give sacrificially, because after St. Paul's understanding, we do all this because we want the faith to go on. So we will figure out what to do. The Lord always guides us forward. But no, it will be different. We have to make adjustments because the culture is different than it used to be, and we have to adapt accordingly to keep a thriving parish life for those who are still active here and meet Christ Jesus in this place. So I'm confident that all of you gathered before me, and those who aren't here, because you're out and about this weekend, as is true in any household these days, we're all kind of scattered, that the Christ who lives in all of you will help us come to grips with where we must go together as a faith community. I believe in you tremendously, but we need to think about things very, very carefully. A little reminder that the pledge card was mailed to you this week with our contribution information for the Fall Stewardship Appeal. Very nicely done appeal this year, little doors, open the joy to Christ. Also in the bulletin, you're going to find an update on the budget with the picture of last year's snapshot as we ended the fiscal year, and also a little picture of the Haiti outreach budget, which we'd never made available before, but now we're letting you see all that too with my letter that goes along with it. So read them, take it seriously, pray about these things. Again, the spirit of St. Paul, these are the questions we must face as we decide how do we hand on the faith. How do we hand on the faith? We've done it for a long time here. We'll keep doing it for a long time here. We're going to chart a different pathway, though, to make it a reality. So please know that for sure. One last thing, just because many of you ask about it, and you're always very kind to do so. You ask how my Doctor of Ministry coursework is going, the classes I take on Tuesdays. I'm passing all of my classes, so thanks be to God for that reality, right? But I enjoy it very much, the chance to study, even if it divides my time, and I really appreciate all of your prayers and those who pitch in around here to let me go away and do that for the sake of the parish and the Archdiocese. So thank you for your support on that personal level, too. Again, thanks so much. Thanks for your generosity. Thanks for your patience. Please see me after Mass at questions.